toil and trouble. Three words that conjure up the medieval heaths of Scotland, where three weird sisters prophesy the future of Macbeth. But how would that translate today? That is the focus of a new show coming to the No Theater, and it is entitled Toil and Trouble by Lauren Gunderson. Joining me this evening is Eric Vossmeyer, the producing artistic director at the No Theater. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good, good. This sounds like a lot of fun because it's a spin on Mac, but it's a comedy.
It's absolutely a comedy, yes. There's very little tragic about it, despite the fact that the characters themselves probably believe themselves to be trapped in tragedy. The results are rather comedic, yes.
So what Lauren has done is to sort of look at contemporary society and what we're going through today and brings forth the whole idea of prophecy and the future. But instead of the three weird sisters, we have three fortune cookies.
We do. We have a number of them. The three that sort of set it off, and then we have fortune cookies sort of that keep coming into the story or changing the course of the story, as the case may be. Yeah, the parallels, I think, are pretty fantastic in the way that she's drawn, you know, the witches being these cookies, and each of the characters sort of represent their own individual character or large groups of characters from Macbeth. And the comedy results, just because the ridiculous action of these people sort of toward this tragic end, but in contemporary setting, is a ludicrous thing to watch on stage.
Now, you're directing this production.
I am.
And you have a cast of three people who are very familiar to the No audiences from this season.
At least the No family, yes. Josh and Brianna, who have been with the company for, gosh, now I think this might be their almost fourth year or starting a fourth year for them. But they've been on tour with our nationally touring education program called Calculus the Musical. So nobody really ever gets to see them in town except during the Fringe Festival when they come back and work and bartend and such. And so we're excited to give that to them, as this will really kind of be their last job with No Theater. They're moving on. They're moving to Arizona just after this. And then Chris Wesselman, who has been with the company is in multiple capacities over the course of the past 3 or 4 years, including most recently as the associate producer of the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. And he's taking on the role of Adam, who plays all the other characters in Macbeth who aren't Macbeth or Lady Macbeth.
Now, the characters are described as 30-somethings with too much college and not enough employment. A lot of people cannot identify with that. So it puts them in a unique position for wanting to achieve something. And they get on this whole role of basically overtaking a small island off the coast of Chile.
Yeah, well, it's a practically uninhabited island. And so the takeover is really a gentle, peaceful kind of takeover. But there's a particular natural resource on this island that they feel like, if exploited properly, can make them lots and lots of money and solve all their problems. Which, in fact, in some ways turns out to be the case, yes.
Now, as the director, working on a comic piece that's based on a tragic classic, do you ever find yourself working with them and getting to a point of saying, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm taking this more along the line of Macbeth and not along the lines of Toil and Trouble?
We had some pretty deeply intense conversations around the table when we first started rehearsal about sort of how we wanted to approach it and whether we felt like the just sort of which text we should really rely upon. We have one text. It's Lauren Gunderson's text. That's the text that we're relying upon. We certainly recognize all the things that she's done to draw those parallels, but we're not trying to remake Macbeth. We're trying to make this play called Toil and Trouble, which is a hilarious comedy.
And people may not be familiar with this title because this is only the second production. It premiered earlier this year.
It was late last year, I believe. It was November of last year, and it was at the Impact Theater in San Francisco, which is where Lauren is a resident of San Francisco. And so it was found by our designer, who's also a West Coast resident, and it ended up in our season. It's a great little summer show. We haven't done this summer slot for a while, and again, we haven't done a comedy for a while. And this is just kind of, I think, a perfect fit for both of those.
And you're familiar with Lauren's work.
Yeah. We have a couple of other plays that we've been looking at of hers for previous slots. This is the first one that we found that I think fits into what we do and sort of it fits into our season. So it was a great choice for us.
You mentioned your designer would be Andrew Hungerford, who does your lighting and scene design.
Yep.
You also have sound design by Doug Borntrager and costume design by Noelle Wettig.
Yes.
And this has the promise of being kind of interesting from all technical aspects.
It's an interesting play, and we certainly have talked a lot about design. The design that we've gone with is pretty simplified overall and very kind of meant to be a little bit reflective, but not very much of the original source material Macbeth. And so it is really kind of these 30 slackers in kind of a dumpy apartment. And 30 slackers and dumpy apartments, that's what No Theater Design does best.
Now, a technical element that people often ask about when they see people having food on stage, and in this case, we're having apparently several Chinese takeaway
constant
meals.
Chinese food.
The question that is often raised is, do they actually eat that stuff?
Some of it they do, yes. Some of it is designed and built to just look like food, and some of it is meant to be eaten and consumed on stage. And we've also, as you get into rehearsal, you discover that you want more opportunities for people to eat things on stage, or you want someone eating at this moment when there's no real text for it, just because it's funny. So the sound of people talking with their mouth full of fortune cookies is amusing. We're exploiting that.
Where did you get your fortune cookies from?
We got them, I think, from a place called Restaurant Depot, which is where we do all of our shopping.
Now, of course, with regards to any play that deals with the future and how people rely on different portents to guide them, do you find that the actors readily accept the concept of relying on fortune cookies? I mean, in today's day and age, people kind of smirk when they read it and they add little taglines to it to make them funny. How are they handling the whole fortune cookie scenario?
So the fortune cookies sort of are the catalyst for the whole action of the play. They open these first couple of cookies and they mention these characters specifically by name. And the characters are like, whoa, our name is in those cookies. There's a series of events. The whole thing is, it's a little outside the realm of reality. There's a little bit of a time travel element to the show. There is a bloodless coup that occurs of a small island off the coast of Chile. There's not a whole lot that's based in reality. And so when we look at it, we have to say, all right, well, these are the things that we recognize are pretty unlikely to ever actually be possible or to ever actually occur, not the least of which is probably the time traveling fortune cookie situation. But what it does is it kind of just sets up this environment of literally anything can happen. And at that point, then I think it becomes a lot more fun. And the playwright, even while writing, I think gets to have a lot more fun and figure out, okay, well, I've already added all these things in. At this point, I can add anything in I want to. And so we had a conversation with her yesterday, and that was actually that thing I mentioned earlier. It was one of the things that she said, that these three characters sort of feel like they themselves are trapped in a tragedy, and anything can go wrong with this horrible tragedy. But that is, in fact, comedic for all of us to watch.
Well, and she does have definitely a wry sense of humor. I mean, she takes the lead characters who represent Macbeth and Lady Macbeth and name them Matt and Beth.
Yes.
And then, of course, Adam is the main character Chris Russellman is playing. How many characters does he actually play?
He only plays one character in our play. It's just meant to be an amalgamation of all of the other Macbeth characters that aren't Lady Macbeth, Macbeth, or the witches. So he's everybody else in the show.
And you say that Josh and Brianna are moving to Arizona.
They are.
Are they going there to pursue additional theater opportunities?
They are going to open a legit real person business. They're getting out of this theater racket.
And, of course, Chris Wesselman is part of the No family.
Yep.
and probably will be for a while.
Yes, I mean, he just kind of keeps coming around. We keep giving work to him, and he keeps saying yes to it. So I would imagine that that scenario will continue to happen.
Now, we should say that this show is a summer show.
Yeah.
Which will run July 26th through August 24th. That's a fairly long run.
Yeah. We wanted to give the play the opportunity, I think, to sort of gain a little bit of word of mouth because it is a comedy, and that's something that's a little bit unique for us. We don't do them all that often, and we really like them, but we have found this one, and we love it, and I think that I want people to have the chance to come and say, hey, look, we can laugh at No Theater and cry at No Theater.
And, of course, we should mention that the No Theater has The Underground, which has a full bar. And sometimes has special events. You have your opening night event.
Indeed. We have opening night events. We have very special sort of catered partnerships with lots of different restaurants, and they bring us a ton of food and desserts and all kinds of deliciousness. We have a bar that's always open when we have shows, and it's the cheapest bar in town.
Now, that actually brings up a very important point. Over the Rhine has been going through a really expansive renaissance.
Yeah.
And more restaurants seem to come down there, and anymore, you can come down to the No Theater and do your whole dinner and show and drinks afterwards in one general neighborhood. That didn't used to be the case.
Yeah, we see a lot of that happening now. And we always, not always, but frequently sort of just in chatting with audiences or even during curtain speech, just sort of say, hey, who ate food in the neighborhood tonight? And it's amazing to see almost 100% every single night that somebody has either had a drink before the show or dined before the show in the neighborhood. And just the fact that they have the option of doing that now is kind of amazing. So people come down and hang out the whole night instead of just coming down for a show and going back to where they're from to eat dinner or get a drink. Now there are so many things for them to do that they stick around and spend more money in the neighborhood.
And for someone who's not used to coming down to the area or hasn't been down for a while, has been waiting for you to do another comedy, what's parking like down there?
Oh, parking's pretty easy overall. There are certain nights and there are certain days where there are events where it gets a little crazy, but there is at this point ample parking, be it street, garage, or surface lot. There's a brand new garage that just opened up off of 14th Street, so there's a ton of parking right now.
Well, I'd like to thank this evening's guest, Eric Vossmeyer, Producing Artistic Director at The Note. Thank you so much,
Eric. Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us.
If you're interested in seeing Toil and Trouble by Lauren Gunderson, running July 26th through August the 24th at The Note Theater, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.